This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Oh, boy. Some of us don't think that we got any enemies. I don't want to step on nobody's toes, but praise God. But I'm here to tell you that the world has not changed. This is still the kind of world in which even the most virtuous person have enemies. Oh, yeah. You know why I don't talk to people much about politics? People may become our enemies because of political differences, educational differences, economical differences, moral differences. Who you think you are? You think you better than somebody else? And even religious differences. And guess what? Enemies are not always those who are out. What I mean by that, we have some of these enemies that might be right there in our own family. Some of those enemies would be those enemies that's right there on our job. Smile in your face, the backstabbers. Y'all remember that song? Some could be even right in the church. Oh yeah, I'm gonna teach today, y'all. There'll be nobody in here shout today. But me. But regardless of who and where our enemies are, Jesus tells us to love them. Boy, isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? Let me just give you three things real quick when he's talking about what Jesus did when he talked about this one little word. Four-letter word. Four letters, that's all. L-O-V-E. First thing he does, God tells us in this text the object of our love. Now everybody know what an object is. It's just a thing. It could be a person. And in that text, object of our love. In other words, where should your love be focused? Who shall it be? What shall it be focused on? And he tells us in the text. Where should it be focused? Come on. He said in verse 30, 25, 27 and 25, he says that what? Love your enemies. And he's got it plural. To let you know it's not just going to be one. Because you know back in those days, you know what those folk thought? You know who the Israelites thought were their enemies? They thought the Romans were their enemies. Romans had captured Israel and done everything to them. And guess what? They thought that Jesus was talking about the Romans. No. Let me make it plain to us. But praise God, he's talking about that enemy, somebody who may do some things to you, say some things about you. Praise God. And he's telling us that we are to love them. But I say unto you, which hear. That's why I had to ask you, can you hear today? Praise God. I'm glad they got this mic up loud so we can hear. Praise God. He said, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. You see, the word hate describes the enemy's basic attitude towards you and I. An enemy is somebody that's out to hurt you. And I always ask the question, isn't it amazing how we try to do some great things for folk and they turn around? How many of you all have gone out of your way to help somebody and they take exactly what you're trying to do? To extend the olive branch. Praise God, to turn that thing into hate. Oh yeah, I'm gonna preach today. But instead of hating them back, Jesus tells us to love them. We are to respect and honor all men. I want you to put up there the Apostle Peter's writing at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Peter gives us four things that we ought to do. 1 Peter. Amen. 2:17. What does it say? I can tell you what it says, but I want them to see it. I don't want them to think that it's in my Bible. Praise God. Look what he says. He says, honor all men, period. Love the brotherhood, period. Fear God and do what? Honor the king. He's telling us that we have to love, praise God. You see, every human being has something that is commendable, even if it's nothing more than the fact that he or she is a fellow human being with a soul to be reached for God. So we are to love those who hate us. Now I know that loving one's enemy is against our nature. I know that. I know that because when somebody does something wrong to you, it hurts. But if you want to have a storm-filled, a storm-proof life, praise God, you're going to have to love that person. I would never stand in this pulpit and tell you to love what somebody do. Not no day, but you got to love that person. You know why? Because if I tell you to love that person, that's not two people that's being condemned. Somebody going to catch that going home. Somebody going to catch that going home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, not only did Jesus tell them to do good. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Let me go back. Let me back up. So we are to love those who hate us. No, and I said I don't know that. You see, to hate, to strike back and to wish hurt, but we are compelled to love. You see, not only did Jesus tell us to do good to them which hate you, look what he says in verse 28. He says, bless them that curse you. Oh, Lord. You know, I was putting this thing together. I took myself, I said, boy, there's a difference between cuss and curse. Because we got a lot of folk that can cuss you out. Oh, yeah. If you're part of that branch of service that's called a Navy, just disregard what I'm getting ready to say. They can cuss like a sailor. That's just a saying that we have. So I don't know what y'all did out on those ships. You see, when you talk about that word curse means to call doom down on the head of a person. Oh Lord. It is the verbal attempt to do a person harm. So what Jesus is telling us, he's telling us as believers that when someone curses us, that we are to bless the curser and not curse back. Oh boy. Man, there gonna be some folk when they walk out here today, they're gonna say, man, that pastor done gone crazy. Got to be. You see, we are to speak softly and to use kind and reconciling words when we are dealing with folk. Look what Paul writes when he wrote to the church at Rome. Put Romans chapter 12, verse 14 up there. Look what he said. He said, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Finally, Jesus talks about the object of our love when we see at verse 28, he said, and pray for them which despitefully use us. You see, when someone despitefully uses us, praise God, it is someone who mistreats us despite what we do for them or try to do for them. And let me tell you something. That could happen in our family. That could happen on our jobs. And that could happen right here in the church. Praise God. Praise God. Have you ever seen or experienced a person that you have done your very best to help and that person mistreat you? Have you ever been in that, if you have ever been in that predicament, raise your hand. It's a hard predicament to be in. It's a hard predicament to go back and try to forgive them. But you know what the Bible tells us? If we are believers, we have to. Oh, I'm going to go on. I told y'all, I don't plan on being here in about 2 more hours. Praise God. You see, we are to pray that God forgive them. We are to pray for the peace between us and them, and we pray, praise God, for their salvation and correction. When Jesus was on the cross, praise God, Luke 23, verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them. And if Jesus can act, his Father to forgive those who condemned him. Man, we can do the same. Because I have yet to see any one of us die for anything like that. So he tells us the object of his love should be those enemies, those so-called enemies of ours. But guess what? Second thing I see in this text is that he tells us the actions of love. Let me just give those actions real quick. You see, part of our problem with this little word that we call love, L-O-V-E, is that a lot of us don't have a good understanding of the word that Jesus is using here for love. If I was to ask, I see a lot of these young folks sitting in here. If I was to ask one of the young folks, and maybe some of the old ones, what love means, most people are going to talk about attraction, and they're going to talk about feelings, and they're going to talk about sentiment. But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about a God kind of love. He's not talking about that Eros love. I'm talking about the love that two people of the opposite sex that love that they have for each other. He's not talking about filial love, that love that two buddies have. I'm talking about the love where they get the name of the city, Philadelphia, filial love. I'm talking about that brotherly kind of love. He's talking about agape love here. Let me just give those actions real quick. You see, part of our problem with this little word that we call love, L-O-V-E, is that a lot of us don't have a good understanding of the word that Jesus is using here for love. If I was to ask, I see a lot of these young folks sitting in here, if I was to ask one of the young folks, and maybe some of the old ones, what love means, most people are going to talk about attraction, and they're going to talk about feelings, and they're going to talk about sentiment. But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about a God kind of love. He's not talking about that Eros love. I'm talking about the love that two people of the opposite sex, that love that they have for each other. He's not talking about filial love that two buddies have. I'm talking about the love where they get the name of the city, Philadelphia, filial love. I'm talking about that brotherly kind of love. He's talking about agape love here. And our actions ought to be selfless. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, your actions towards another person should be selfless and not selfish. Oh, let me explain it. I had you to say it, so I need to explain. You see, when somebody does something to us, I want you to hear that word called pride, P-R-I-D-E. That's how you spell it, P-R-I-D-E. But when you pronounce it, what you hear, dominant, I, pride. You see, when you put self into it, amen, this is what self would say. How can I get back at them? Praise God. What can I do to get even? Praise God. But Jesus describes actions in which our self-interest are set aside, and that the interests of our enemy may be considered. Look what Jesus tells us in these actions. Praise God. First of all, he said, do good to them which hate you. Woo, 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 woo. You see, this is translating the love. I'm talking about the desire to be helpful to a person into some positive action. It could invoke finding some need in the life of the person who hates you and then meeting that need. Talk about action. Next one he said, bless them that curse you. You see, again, the natural thing for us is to defend self from the hateful words and to seek to discredit or to prove the person wrong. But Jesus is telling us not to waste time trying to defend self. He says, show love. Seek to build up the one who has cursed you. In other words, we are to invoke a blessing upon that person. You know why? Praise God. You know why? Praise God. It's just like heaping coals of fire upon their head. Somebody sees that they are trying to knock you down, keep you down, run you down, ridicule your name, and you continue to show love toward that person. Praise God, you are heaping coals of heat upon their head. Man, they don't even know how to take you. Praise God. And guess what? before long, it may take that to win that person for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, our actions are generous. When you are generous, you are giving. If I take verse 29 through 30, I'm on my way out, y'all. Our Lord presents us with several situations we may encounter at the hands of an enemy. Praise God. And in every case, he calls for us to be generous, or to have a generous response on our part. Let me just run them by you real quick. The very first one says, praise God, unto him that smite you on the cheek. He didn't say that you get mad. He said, turn the other cheek. Now let me give you something that you may not be privy to. That word cheek in the Greek is a word that is pronounced like the capital of South Vietnam. Everybody know this capital of South? Saigon. And that word implies a jaw, or a jawbone. So they're not, what he's saying there, he's not just talking about a smack on the cheek. He's talking about somebody who may hurt you very talking about possibility of a broken jawbone. That's somebody that has hurt you very deep, even by some things that they do, or some things that they threaten to do. Oh boy, my legs are hurting now. Maybe I ought to stop. Oh, boy, I'm getting ready to go through here now. Person plans, scheme, connive to hurt you. They ain't your friend. Let me say that again. If a person scheme, connive, praise God, to hurt you in any way, shape, or form, they ain't your friend. Can't love the way, but you got to love the person. So our actions got to be generous. Praise God. He said, if they smite you on one face, praise God, you turn the other cheek. Amen. I know that's hard to do, but we are compelled to love. Praise God. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 also has an essay, and him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Can I make that plain? Back in those days, Jewish men wore two outer garments. One was an inner liner. Sometimes they would wear one. Sometimes they would wear two. And of course, you know, sometimes they would wear three, depending on the weather. That was the cloak. And then on the outer garment, have a coat on. Now they were only allowed to have one coat, but they can have as many cloaks as they wanted. So he's saying that if somebody takes your cloak, finish this. Somebody takes your cloak. That means that he is taking something from you that belongs to you. And normally when they would take the cloak, it was the pay. Get that thing on. Amen. It meant that you're trying to, you have a debt to them. They would not give you the opportunity to pay it. They would take the cloak from you. He's saying that they take your cloak, which you might have one, you might have two, you might have three. If they do that, give them the cloak too. That's when you are compelled to love. When you're compelled to love. Amen. You can give them the coat. Don't you worry about it. You see, like I said, and finally he says in verse 30, look what he says in verse 30. He said, give to every man that acts of thee. Now somebody say, Pastor, you're gonna have to explain that one to me. Praise God. And of him that takes away. In other words, if somebody steals something from you, don't you even worry about trying to go back and retrieve it. Let them keep it. Let them keep it. Oh, I got so mad with O.J. Simpson. Oh, I got mad. Somebody's going to look at me and say, what you doing getting mad with O.J. Simpson? Y'all remember O.J. Simpson's story? Come on, y'all. Come on. OJ had it made. Yes, somebody gonna steal some of his memorabilia. Somebody with memorabilia. He gonna go with a weapon to get it back. Knowing that the folk wanted anything they can get on.
Anything. That's right. Anything.
So this text says, praise God, if they take it away, even if they steal it from you, praise God. You know why he said that? Yeah. That you're to give to those? Okay. He was really talking about you giving to somebody who is in need.
Yeah, Lord.
Because you want to know something? I wouldn't stand up here in this pulpit and tell you to give to everybody that asks you. Can I make that plain? You give out money like that, you're going to be in the soup line along with them, because the scripture tells us to be discreet with our finances, with our giving. Somebody say, Pastor, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. I believe it's Psalm 112. I gave it to them. Psalm 112, verse 5. We ought to have some discretion. I'm going to explain what I'm talking about. He says that a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion, meaning that he's going to be responsible in what he is doing. Can I break it down a little bit? Plain. We're among friends in here.